A good day to be alive. But yes, it's a great day. Any day you're on this side of the dirt is a great day. Because God's put breath in your lungs, and you're here for a purpose. You're here because somebody needs you, and God's not done with you yet. That is the greatest thing that we can remember, is God gives us each day because he's not there with us yet. He puts people on our path to touch them, to love them. And it's just an amazing thing when you get to, when you truly understand God. You know, when you truly begin to shift your focus, not on yourself, but on to him and the things of him. And you begin to shift your perspective into a godly perspective. You know, that's what we, 2 weeks ago, that's what we began talking about. You throw that up there, buddy? It's a godly perspective. It's trying to see the world from God's point of view. Because the same old thinking leads to the same old results. If you look at the world the same way all the time, you're not going to see anything different. You know, it's about beginning to shift how we look at things. Because maybe, just maybe, if we look at things a different way, we'll get a different result. We'll begin to see things. Begin to know things in God. Ephesians 1:18. It says this, it says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those who he has called. In the King James Version, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of our understanding. What that's saying is, open the eyes of our hearts. And that's been my cry recently to God, is open the eyes of my heart, Lord, to see what you want to see. That's what I want to give to us today. Changing our perspective, having a godly perspective to see the world through Jesus' eyes. To open the eyes of our hearts so we can see the world how Jesus sees it. Now, how did Jesus see the world? I'm going to tell you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is Jesus picking him up. He's traveling across the country. He's traveling through all the towns. In verse 35, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So he's going about teaching, announcing the good news, and healing all the people. Verse 36. How does Jesus see the world? Verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Another version, it says, he saw the crowds and he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Has anybody ever been that way? Weary and worn out? I know I have. You see, the thing is, the way Jesus saw the world was, he saw the world. He saw the people. And what I mean by that is this. Have you ever seen people but not really seen them? You know, you're in your own little bubble and you're walking around and you bump into somebody because you didn't see them. They're right there. You saw them with your eyes, but you didn't see them with yourself. You ever run into somebody like that? Or, see, he saw them. He really looked at them. Many times in my own life, if I'm honest, I see people, but I don't recognize them. Case in point, you ever drive your car, especially in bigger towns like Fort Smith, and you'll see the people on the side of the road with their little sign that says, you know, broke down, hungry. You ever look the other way? You ever purposely turned your head so you didn't have to see them? I'm being honest, you know. You see, what Jesus did when he saw the world, he really saw them. He didn't avoid the people. He didn't try to not look at them. He saw the people. And see, that's the very first thing to having a godly perspective is to open your eyes. It's not about you. Look at the people around you. Because there's so many people that we touch and we don't realize it. There's so many people that we impact, but we don't take time to realize it. And see what Jesus did, you see, the very first thing, he saw them right where they were. He didn't avoid them. I do that way too much. I avoid people way too much. I'm preaching to myself, okay? If anybody gets anything else out of this, awesome. But the very first person I'm preaching to is me, is myself, if I'm honest. See, he saw them. How many times do we look at people and we fail to see them? Or how many times do we look at people and we judge them?
Yeah.
Or what they look like?
Yeah.
Are their dirty clothes? Their tattoos and their piercings. There's a person I know that, I'll be honest with you, I judged them because they didn't look like me. She got a bunch of tattoos on her. And she loves Jesus just as much as I did. But I judged her before I knew her. Before I saw her, I looked at her and judged. See, God doesn't want that.
Amen.
God wants us to see the world through his eyes.
Amen.
So then he saw the people. And what came next after he looked at them? He had compassion on them. See, it's one thing to see somebody, and it's another to have to see them and have compassion on them. Many times, like I said, we judge folks before we get to know them. To see the world through Jesus' eyes is to see it through compassion and not judgment. Many times I'm quick to judge folks, like I was talking about that lady. You see in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by an outward appearance. What does the Lord look at? The heart. He sees people and he sees the heart. He doesn't judge them. Because it's really easy to judge other people. I like judging folks, if I'm honest. Because you know what? When you judge somebody, it makes you feel a little bit better. If you judge them and they're beneath you. Am I the only one that does that? Okay, come on now. Come on, be honest. Be honest. You see, it's fun to judge other folks, to point out other people's faults and their failures. Because it's easy to say, well, I messed up, but I didn't mess up as bad as so-and-so. You ever said that? I have. Come on now. You see, Matthew 7. Starting in verse 1, it says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. For the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What that's saying is how much you judge other people, God's going to judge you. However much you talk bad about folks, negative points to God. See, it's all fun and games. The point at other people's sins. You know, I don't know if anybody, I spend a lot of time on the internet. There's this website called the Babylon Bee. Anybody ever heard of it? It's a satire website. And they, it's about Christianity. It's some Christians, and they're pointing out stuff. And it's, they posted this mock article the other day with this graphic. Buddy, will you fill that up there for me? It says this. Hopefully you guys can see it. It says, relative badness of sin. Sins you struggle with, really not that bad. It's a little bit right here. Sins other people struggle with, way up here. And if you can read it, it says, whoa, Nelly, that sin is bad. Those other people better start repenting. Those other people. How many times have I said that in my lifetime? Those other people need to. They need Jesus. Because they're doing this, this, and this. Never mind that I'm doing this, that, and that. I mean, come on. What'd you say, Sam? Are you reading my notes? Sin is sin, like Brother Sam said. All sin is sin. Just because you chose to sin different than I did doesn't make it any less of a sin. So seeing the world through Jesus' eyes, saying, we're all sinners. My sin is just as bad as yours. Sin is sin. Because there's no degrees of sin, no matter how much we want there to be. At the end of the day, Romans 3:23 still holds true. For all have sinned and fallen short. I'm part of the all. I'm part of the all. Alright. So if we're not supposed to judge people, what are we supposed to do? Have compassion. Compassion. See, Jesus saw the people and he was moved with compassion. See, many times we have empathy towards people and we call it compassion. You know what empathy is? Say, I understand what you're going through. I understand it. And leave it there. And we call it, oh, I'm a compassionate person. But no, compassion is moving. Compassion is you hurt, I hurt. You struggle, I struggle with you. I don't think, oh, I'll pray for you. Jesus loves you. Like a basic white girl. Where'd the angel go? I told her I was gonna say that tonight. And so many times we say, thoughts and prayers. Hallelujah. That's empathy. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm praying for you. Compassion says, I'm going to cry with you. Compassion says, I'm going to love you where you're at, not where I think you should be. Get that. Compassion is loving someone where they're at, not where you want them to be. Because so many times we get ourselves wrapped up in what we think other people should do or where they should be in their lives. They need to repent. Then I'm going to love them. No. Jesus said, love them and guide them to me so they'll repent. Wow. That's a free. That's not enough. But look, Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion is action. Compassion is action. Not a Facebook post. You see those? Like, share if you love Jesus. Every share is a love of Jesus. No. 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 Don't do that. Love people. Compassion. In Matthew 25, it talks about Matthew 25, picking up in verse 34. It talks about the end of days. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Get this, verse 35. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your house. Verse 36. I was naked and you gave me clothes. That's the seventh version. I was naked. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Verse 37 says, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say this, I tell you the truth. Get that. I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it to who? You're doing it to me. When you do it to the least of these, who are the least of these? Who are the least of these that he's talking about? Thus. Is this a homeless person?
Yep.
A drug addict?
Yep.
The pastor of the church?
Yep.
Because at one time or another, in every one of our lives, we were at least of these.
Yeah.
At some point, we were at least of these. We were a lost sheep without a shepherd. A lost sheep without a shepherd. I didn't mean to do that. Now, the least of these, who are the least of these? It's you and me. Because without God, we're all lost. Without God, we're lost. That's who it's talking about. When you did it to the least of these, you did it to God. You see, seeing the world through Jesus' eyes is seeing people, seeing them in their need, and doing something about it. Doing something about it. Doing action. Because love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love requires action. Because you know, all of this that we're talking about was born out of love. God's love for us. Because God has an unconditional love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It says, God showed how much he loved us by sending us his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. To see the world through Jesus' eyes is to see a world that is hurting without love. And giving love. Giving an unconditional love. Because so many times, if I'm honest in my own life, I put conditions on love. Say, if you'll do this, I'll love you. If you'll treat me right, I'll love you. God said, it doesn't matter if they treat you right. If they're your best friend, because love your enemy. Love your enemy. Luke 6:27. It says, those who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other cheek. That's a hard thing to do. If someone hits me, I want to hit them. I want to get a little ghetto. I want to slap back. But here Jesus is saying, if you're going to love somebody, turn the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you'd like them to do to you. Verse 32, here's the key. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit? If you love only the people that love you back, congratulations, you're doing what everybody does. It's just that even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good only to those who do good to you, okay, if you lend money, verse 34, if you lend money only to those that can repay you, why should you give credit? Even sinners lend to other sinners for a full return. Verse 35, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. You will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to those who are unthankful.
I'm after Him.
So just have as much as God is kind to those who are unthankful. Those are wicked. They are evil people. He gives His love to them. And He gives His love to me too. See, that's the thing. Having compassion is all born out of love. It's all born out of love. We've got to see the world through love. Because without love, 1 Corinthians 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but don't love others, I will only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If you don't have love, you're just a bunch of noise. Your life is worthless without love. Love. See people. Love them anyway. Because God loves you so much. He gave His only Son for you. Jesus died for you. It's a hard thing to realize. Because we don't want good things to happen to our enemies. If people go through Jesus Christ, everyone has a God-shaped hole in their heart. And God wants to fill it through us. Through our compassion towards other people. Seeing the world through Jesus' eyes. I'm going to go back to Matthew 9:35. Back to our very first scripture. 9:35. Jesus traveled all through the town. 36. Tell the crowd that has compassion. Verse 37. I want to look at verse 37 and 38 real quick. And He, Jesus, said to His disciples, as He's looking out upon this crowd of people, and He's moved with compassion towards these people, He says to His disciples, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. The harvest of the world is great. See, when we look at the world through Jesus' eyes, we see there's a multitude of people that need Him. There's a multitude of people walking around with a hole in their heart. He says, workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers under His feet. Who's the workers? We are. Because there's a multitude of people. There's a lost and a dying world. And we have the answer. Compassion says, I want to give that answer to everyone I meet, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done. You are filling that hole in other people. We have the answer. That's what I want to encourage you guys with. Begin to act
actually see the world through Jesus' eyes. They put on the eyes of love. Because each one of us have been placed in certain places so we can share that love. It may look rough when you start out, but when you begin to bloom where you're present, love will spread. And you'd be amazed who gets it when you live it. You will be amazed the people that will come in each one of these. Each one of these things when you live it out. A true viewing of people with compassion. And I want to encourage us. Each of them, encouraging me, encouraging you, see people, see their needs. So you can help them. Because the harvest is great. We have to be willing to put it in the space. We have to be willing. Lord, I thank you for today, God. Thank you for each and every one of us here. And Lord, I ask that you would draw us closer to you so we can begin to see the world through your eyes and not our own. So we begin to see the people that we can touch for your glory. So we can live out our faith in everything that we do. And we ask that you continue to draw more and more people into this church and into this body. Because I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Jesus, and we pray. Amen.
It's not snowing, and I'm not snowing.